2 and 3 and 4 together. 2, 3, and 4. Receive us,
for we have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I seek not to condemn you, for I said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my worry of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation.
Okay, that's three verses in this
chapter. Yeah.
Okay, okay. So verse number 2, didn't receive us. What does it mean to receive?
That's the attack. I didn't hear what you said.
What's the difference? What's the name of
receive? I didn't hear where you told us to go.
Oh, 2 Corinthians 7, 2.
Thank you.
Yeah, 7, 2, okay. What does it mean to receive you? To receive us. What does receive mean in what sense? Yes, Tammy.
Accept.
Accept, right? Accept you. Should we receive unbelievers? In what sense would we use receive unbelievers?
Well, as people, we do it.
And as people.
I'm people. Okay. Thank you.
As people. But in a sense, the receiver is never very good. Don't be paying instructions away. No, I can see it.
He's there too.
And Peter's there too.
Here,
right?
He says, yeah.
Here,
he says, here. He wants it together. There's two together. Yeah. Once it's separate, it's separate. Whatever it's going to be good.
Here, no, he's a Louis.
He can push
this
over.
He's a Louis. Okay.
You have to go all the way to the
middle.
I'll sit in the back.
Yeah, you want one of the chairmen to
remember
for your
book? I'll sit in the
middle. I'm fine.
Thank you.
Okay, now, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Chapter 7.
Where are we at?
Chapter 7. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 2. Yeah, verse 2.
7?
Yes, 7. 7, 2. All right.
Helps me
to
function.
Thank
you. Very
good. What verse are we at? Chapter 7, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 7, 2. Glad to see everybody.
Yes, please.
Appreciate you coming.
Pete
are we ready?
Yes, we okay. are.
2 Corinthians 7, verse 2. Now it says, receive us. We have wronged no man. Now, what does it mean to receive us? If Paul is writing to these Corinthians people, in what way?
Accept us?
Accept us, that's right, and talk to us, and don't be separated from us. In the last verse of the previous chapter, it talks about, come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. See, we don't be separate if we're genuine Christians. We should be received one another, fellowship one another. And it says separate touch on the unclean thing. Don't consider us unclean, but receive us. And we have wronged no man. What does it mean not to wrong any man? Well, in what sense? Get cast.
We've hurt no man?
All right, hurt no man. Haven't stolen anything from him or lied to him or put him out of our house or out of our church.
Or, like you said, we have sins in it. With no man?
Yeah, that's another thing that we have not. In other words, the not corrupted any man. What does corrupt mean? What would corrupt mean?
Encourage somebody to sin.
Cast? I mean, Trish?
Encourage somebody to sin.
Encourage someone to sin, that's right. Corrupt. Mm. And tell them to read the wrong Bible, that would be corrupt. Some just be corrupt. If someone is encouraged to sin, that would be corrupting someone. And he says, we have defrauded no man. What does the word defrauded mean? Yes, Trish?
Run by deceit.
Run by deceit? That's one thing. What else? Yes.
Stolen from them.
Stolen. And
cheated them.
Yes, and one area that people defraud people, one area would be take money from them and steal them. They have to defraud. Yeah. Sometimes you use that word defraud. And so Paul is saying that he's doing all right with these Corinthians. And then in verse number 3, I speak on this to condemn you. What does condemn mean?
Judge.
What else? Yes.
Find guilty.
Find guilty. Should some people be condemned?
Yeah.
Yes. If not doing the things of the right, the Lord is proper way with his word would be condemning. Mm-hmm. So apparently the Corinthians are doing all right. Paul is not condemning them. That ye are in our hearts. What would it be within our hearts? You're within our hearts.
The inner that? Man?
What is it?
Our hearts is the inner man.
The inner man. So there's a love for them, an encouragement, some sympathy toward people. So in your heart. And in my heart there rings a melody. What's that song? Yeah. Now, what does that mean if you're bringing a melody in your heart?
Yes. So cool, made you joyful.
All right.
And the Lord says that the Holy Spirit that we should go about in Ephesians,
yes.
of singing in our heart and making music in our heart and verses and things like that. We should do that every day.
Yes, more over there, some people.
Elaine and
two people.
And Paul and Nick.
Oh, Elaine, Paul and Nick also.
Yes.
Did it wave to them?
I did, but I don't know if I remember. No, they do.
So they can transfer from the other source and get on here and be able to watch us and be able to talk to us. Are they calling us up? They can interact with us directly.
Very good.
Paul's mic still is not working for some reason. I'm not sure why, Paul. But,
Is that you?
Oh, Nick, you want to say something? Your mic's off. What, you have something to say? Good. I'm glad you were able to come, Nick, today. We're in chapter 7 of 1st Corinthians.
Yes, good.
Where's
Nick from?
Russia.
From Russia.
But he was here. He was here. How long ago was it?
Nick? Was it 2 years ago, Nick, or? Four years ago.
Welcome. Yeah. Well, the Pastor Dan's got the thing hooked up there.
And you're going to be able to get back coming permanently next year sometime, right? That's what they're saying.
Good. That'd be wonderful. Very good. Yes. We know that song, In My Heart, there rings a melody. See now, what is the difference between the heart and the head? What's the difference?
One's more academic, analytical, and the one is more emotional.
That's right.
More.
What does it mean if a person is heartless? What does that mean?
They have no care for anybody but themselves.
Okay, that's what they mean. They may have a heart, but they're not using it.
Right.
And caring and having a concern with other people. So
now, Paul, you have a question, Paul? For some reason, Paul, your mic's still not working. I'm not sure why. So why don't you call on the telephone, Paul? You make a comment. You can keep connected with your video. Call us on the telephone to make a comment. I'm not sure why it's not. What problem we're having with this? They were saying,
you know our telephone number?
He does, he has it.
Okay.
I think so. So the heart versus
the head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some may be heartless, but others may be headless. In what sense, what's the difference if someone has no much of a brain? What does that mean?
They don't think before they act.
They think before they act. They're not really thinking people. But as Christians, we ought to be thinking people.
Amen.
And know the word of God, which we can be taught.
Usually we will hear him on this. He's got some say that's not right on his computer yet.
What can I say? Yes, Paul, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm one of the computer. I got my mic on. I don't know for whatever reason I'm not being heard.
Yes, cold or callous, yes. Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Wave the Paul.
Good to see you,
wave
Paul.
The Paul. Okay, thank you.
And Elaine, if you're there.
Okay.
She lays.
Is she there?
I think she's there.
Oh, no, I'm trying to.
All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, now verse number 3. Yes.
I was going to say the Word of God teaches that if we are genuinely believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have the mind of Christ.
Yes, have the mind of
we
Christ.
We can't know the mind of Christ till we know His Word.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I can see it better if your hand is over toward that white sheet. Now I can see that better.
Okay,
sorry.
I'll do that next time.
Okay. So, not to get mad. We're in verse 3 now. Not to condemn you, but I have said before that they are in our hearts yet to die and live with you. That's very strong, isn't it? To die and to live. But that's a figure of speech. And what does it mean to die and to live with you? Somebody said that to you. What do they mean? Yes.
That means that they love you, because no greater love is this than a man should lay down his life for a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that's how much they love him.
When people are being hurt by others, and you are with them in the hurt, and you tell them about it, that you're with them in whatever their difficulty is, join with them. That's important. That dying, it's very important. Dying is living. It's a strong statement. Here in our hearts. Did it read for you?
No.
Yes, we read it. Read it for you. Now, great is my boldness of speech towards you. What does that mean? What does it mean to have boldness in speech? Boldness in speech. Tammy?
Fearlessness.
All right. In other words, what's the opposite of being bold?
Meek. Or being afraid.
Quiet, maybe ashamed or something. But yes, let's begin.
Timidness.
Timidness. So this is important. Bold of speech. Some people don't say anything. They just look at you. Right?
Yeah.
Being with you, they speak up and join you in the things of the Lord, which is very important indeed. Boldness of speech. Great is my glorying of you. What does it mean to glory in someone? I can't border on sin, I guess, to glory. But in what sense is good glory? What sense is bad glory?
Tammy? Seems like he's rejoicing for them.
All right. Mm-hmm. Rejoicing, that's right. Being glorifying, glorying in the Lord, and not looking down at them. Filled with comfort. What is comfort? How would you comfort someone? Does that mean comfortable? Mm-hmm. Or is it a different meaning?
It's different.
What is...
To have compassion for somebody.
What is it?
To console somebody.
Yeah, console somebody. Yes, that's what I guess. I pass it
down. And then on side of them and giving them some type of encouragement and comforting words from the scriptures. Maybe sometimes you're comforting them with shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes with people that you're going through, somebody's going through something that you've experienced yourself. Mm-hmm. And so you can understand and have empathy with them and be able to comfort them.
Are some people comfortless? If so, what does it mean? Comfortless.
Unconsolable.
Unconsolable, that's enough. Yeah. And some people, I think, are some that way. Their brains are working, but their heart is not there. So. It's sad. A lot of people are comfortless. Some people, most people should be able to be comfort others and to be comforted themselves. It's important that it might both be the case. That you are in our hearts to die and live. And 4, boldness of speech. What would that mean to have boldness of speech? What does it take? Yes, Jack.
To be fearless.
Pardon me?
To be fearless.
To be fearless, yeah, to be fearless, boldness. Now, when you are bold in speech and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Savior and try to urge them to come to Him and be saved, is it always a good reaction that people have?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why do they not have a good reaction toward that? See?
And a lot of those people don't. Well, they don't want to hear it because they like the life they live in, and they think if they see the world, it's going to change, and they don't want to change.
They don't want to change. It changes in the sense of doing right. They want to keep their wickedness, their sinfulness, and not follow the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Sometimes you can only have to get started. I mean, It could be something very small, and they turn off right away. They're turned off.
Yes.
If it's a subject that they know will go down to, you know, either you're a Christian and you have a different view. And
yes.
Before you can say anything, they've already, yeah, I don't know, they're fearful of the truth.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fearful of the truth.
Yeah.
That's a terrible fear to have, is the truth. Now, the Lord Jesus, one of his names is what? 14:6, John. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Very important. See, he's the only one that can come to the Father by genuine faith in him. Boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. Wouldn't that mean a glory in someone? Could that be taken the wrong way and be a sin? Could it be taken the right way and be right?
Rejoicing.
So there's, you know, somebody's happy when you're with them. That's a glory. And that's a big rejoicing and happy and content with them. Yes.
Well, in this sense, this was the people that the Apostle Paul poured his life into. He was trying to build them up in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he's seeing that the Lord is doing that work
mm-hmm.
through him. Mm-hmm. And so he's rejoicing in what God has done in them.
Right. So is it true that in some people's persons and place when they're with them, it's not a happy way to be or happy place to be? Is that true? Are some people not too happy to be with you? They're not too happy to be with them? Is it possible? And if so, what kind of people would those be?
Unhappy people.
In other words, are there some people that are what we call stinkers? And what's that? Are some people do not want to be with? Unpleasant people. People you can't stand. Are that true? There's some?
Yeah.
What kind of people are those?
Annoying.
Anna?
Well, it could vary from person to person. Like, so if someone is more of a deep thinker, then perhaps they're annoyed by
deep stinkers.
Right. They might be annoyed by people who just want to jump into everything without thinking. Whereas
mm-hmm.
the people that are just trying to enjoy everything around them, they're just jumping in because they find it so fascinating. They're annoyed that the thinker is spending so much time thinking.
All right. Is it difficult sometimes to really use your mind and think about situations? Is it always easy to think?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
Sometimes it's counterproductive.
Sometimes it's counterproductive.
You think too much and you don't let, you know, like, you let God work things out, but what happens is sometimes you end up going crazy. You know?
Going crazy, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, our glory, I'm filled with comfort, I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. Is that easy or difficult to be joyful in the tribulation?
It's not that easy, but it's possible. With God, all things are possible.
Right? With God, all things are possible. He can keep you, even in your troubles, and difficulties, sadness, and grief. Did we read 5 yet?
No.
Let's read 5, 6, and 7 together. For when we are come unto Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without refining, and then were fierce. Nevertheless, God had come to us and had damned, for not that it was survived from every place. We have not had it from the Lord, but by the humbling and wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your warning, your fervent mind toward me,
so that I
enjoy it the
more.
All right, so that's verse 5. When we were come into Macedonia, where is Macedonia?
It's in northern Greece.
Northern Greece, all right. And he came there visiting and came to Macedonia. Our flesh had no rest. What does that mean?
Always working.
Pardon me?
Always busy working or.
Busy working, right? Sometimes they're restless, they can't sleep, they can't. But in this case, they were busy probably, no rest. They were not.
And
folks, Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Kat.
And Macedonia is the green part on that map.
Well, the green part of the map is Macedonia, all right?
And Corinth is the part where it's between the Peloponnese and Central Greece, which is that little strip of water. It's in southern. It's in southern. Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
And that's still is that modern day Greece still? Corinth? That would be modern day Greece. That would be.
Macedonia and Greece are
two separate. All right. Now, when Paul had no rest, does that mean he was busy? Is that what I mean? He was busy. Is it the same as restless?
No.
No. See, restless is not doing too much but have no rest. Busyness, the opposite.
It's the busyness of spirit. Your spirit can't rest.
All right. Spirit can't rest. And you're doing work. And some people can't rest and sleep. But is that what this means?
No.
No.
It's they're busy rather than doing nothing. Yes.
As the very next couple of words say, it says he's troubled on every side. So there's always something going on he had to deal with.
All right. Trouble on every side. Mm. Paul was not without enemies, was he? Had many enemies in his ministry. Without fightings, then fears. So there was an inner part of himself and outer part. What are the two different parts in our lives? Within and without, what does that mean? We have some things that are personal that we have difficulties with, and within and without, there's some people that trouble us and are against us and fight against us and talk against us. Without and within. Some people have no trouble at all because they're just sort of sleeping and not interested in anything. These are two different opposites. Within fightings, without fears. What is there? People have fightings within. What are some of the fightings that people do have within?
Political, or some of political fighting, right?
Political fighting, it would be. Individual thoughts about other people that they don't agree with. It could be within. You don't really bring up your differences that you have with other people, but sometimes the fightings are without, and you do bring them up, and you discuss these things and battle a little bit. But fears, right? Fears, but the things within as well. Did you read six already?
Yeah.
5, 6, and 7. Nevertheless, what does that conjunction mean? What does the nevertheless mean? Yeah, Tammy?
In spite of all this.
In spite of all this. Regardless of what's going on, inside, outside, here or there, yonder. Nevertheless, God, what does the purpose of God in verse number 6. What does it say about him? God is, yes.
Well, he comforts those that are down.
That's right.
You know, sometimes you have a lot of burdens and hurts, and
yes.
In spite of all that, he helps us.
Can people always comfort you when you're down?
No.
Why can God comfort you and people are unable to comfort?
Okay. God knows us perfectly.
He knows us perfectly. He knows Isaiah.
I was going to say that too.
After that.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
I saw that hand by that
God
brick.
Has,
that
God
brick
is
doors.
Love. He's perfect love. So
yes.
People are perfect.
Yes, that's
yeah.
True. It's when you have enough problems, do some people not have adequate help to help other people's problems? That takes an extra bit of help, doesn't it? You can say, fight your own problems and be comfortable, but other people, you just want to get involved, don't want to get involved because it's too much. But if you don't have any of your own problems, it's very easy to help other people with their problems. That's right.
The word says that there's wisdom in the wisdom in the counseling.
In many counselors.
So you can go to different people and God can bring people and might say something that's in accordance with what you're going through. But the greatest comforter, of course, is the Holy Spirit. But God Almighty is the great, He is the great counselor. So He's the best one.
Yes.
Even though there is wisdom in the counsel of many.
I'm not sure that anyone can honestly say they have no problems.
Yeah.
If they have no problems, then they're probably dead.
Right.
Well, they say they have no problems. There's one problem right there. They're a liar.
But there's some that have fewer problems than
others. Yeah,
there
are. Yeah. True.
That's true. That's right.
This is one of my verses I always think of. I've just lost it because I want to say it. Man's days are few and full of trouble. So
yes.
Tammy's right.
Yes.
There's nobody that can say they don't have any kind of issues.
Mm-hmm. But then the trouble Israel. Remember that's a phrase of the scriptures. People that are troubling of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people trouble other people.
Yeah.
Why do they trouble other people? Do they always know they're troubling other people? Do they always know?
I don't think they always know, but they sort of have a troubled personality.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, some people have dysfunctions where they actually enjoy upsetting other people.
Yes.
That
gives great happiness.
Yeah, they need Jesus.
Stir them up and so on. But
he looks down.
I memorized that verse, the Psalm 90, verse 10, about trouble, about how many days you have. The days of your years are 3 4 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by reason of strength, it's 4.
Yeah.
And I could never see. And then it says, but I could never get that. But when I studied really hard at it, it says in there, but yet troubles and sorrow. So no matter, and I was wondering why I had troubles. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, you shouldn't have troubles. You should be able to cope with your troubles. But in spite of that, God says right there that even though we live, we're going to have trouble.
Yeah.
So it made me realize that, okay, you know, I could just live with trouble. And it's made it a lot easier because I know I'm going to have it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
God's perfect peace will help us with our troubles. And some people say they have no trouble, but that's the greatest trouble of all. That's John says, coming alive. Yes,
Florida's joining us.
Pardon me?
Somebody from Florida's joining us.
Oh, really?
Oh,
Florida.
Hi, Florida.
It is
it's
the D. See the D up there?
D.
Oh, yeah, the D.
One of your 5 D's for Florida.
Oh, that's great.
Oh,
Diane?
Yeah.
That's way to Diane.
Yeah.
My daughter.
Diane.
That's very good.
Yes.
Yeah,
I just wanted to comment. You know, the Bible study Anna had said that, you know, we always have the world, the flesh, and the devil. So
mm-hmm.
we have the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know you're going to have problems and troubles. And
yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yes.
So,
yes,
sir. Yes.
Not to bring it up your work, but I don't want to make you feel bad. But, you know, such a good woman she was. And
yes.
with all her life, she still ended up with trouble.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. My wife. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
Bonnie. Husband.
Yes, Bonnie. She's
all the trouble she had.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
God got her through it. She got through it.
Yes, she got through it.
It wasn't easy.
No, it wasn't. It was very good to have her with us. And she's a good singer and always.
Yeah.
You know, discussed. I still listen to the discussions of the old ones. And she still talks up and we appreciate that even though she's not here with the internet teacher here. And plays the piano and sings and does other things. So maybe we do the same, we comfort other people.
Amen.
So without notice in verse number 5, our flesh had no rest, we're troubled on every side, we're then fighting without fears. What do those two distances mean, within and without? Yes. Is that a hand up there? Well, I saw her hand, but she's
scratching my hand.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
What does that mean? Within? Fighting?
One is internal and one is external.
Mm-hmm. All right. Trouble on every side.
Mm-hmm.
Do people always, forever, see our troubles?
No.
No. If they're outside, they can see, but inside, and they could. Sometimes they can't even see their own troubles inside. Yes, Tammy.
Well, sometimes even if they're outside, they don't always see them.
Right.
Because you may not always be with that person, so they may never know. So.
Is it wise to let people see our troubles, or is it unwise to let people see our troubles?
Depends on who it is, but it's typically, you know, it depends on the situation. I would say it's more wise not to.
All right. They have enough of their own troubles. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I don't think it's wise to wear your heart on your sleeve.
All right.
I know for years I've done that. I don't know if they still do, but God help me if I do.
Yes.
But sometimes if you don't share some of your troubles, people don't think you're human or you have any troubles.
Yeah, that's true.
And you definitely, everyone does.
Are some people inhuman?
No.
In a sense?
They can act.
They can't be in here. That's not a chance.
To expand on what Tammy was saying, we can have troubles. We are also supposed to, we are told as born again Christians to share things with one another so we can pray for one another.
Yes.
But, and that, when I said, we shouldn't wear them on our sleeve, you know, either.
Yeah, because that's not a good witness.
Right. Some people go moping around, woe is me, all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a lack of faith in God.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it's like Tammy was saying, or somebody, certain, or John, if you have troubles and you never ask anybody to pray with you or share it with them, I mean, you could just bottle up inside. So there's a certain degree. I guess it's like you can't do it all the time. But if you have something, a real burden, you should find a partner that you can pray with and share. I know I've never failed to be lifted up after I pray with somebody. You know, so I think it helps.
Yes, Hannah.
Well, and a lot of people, if they try and bottle things up, it's not good because they haven't been able to process or move through what they're feeling, and so then it's like bottling up, and it's just, and then it just blows up one day.
But in verse number 6, the answer to all these problems are who is who?
God.
God.
Yeah.
Wonderful. What are some of his dimensions?
In
possessions that he has that we don't have. Pastor Dan.
He's eternal.
Eternal? What's that?
Omnipresent, omniscient.
Omnipresent, omniscient.
I was just going to say he's faithful.
Faithful.
Well, he's even when we're him. Not faithful to him,
yes.
He's faithful to us.
That's right. Anna.
He's holy.
He's holy. Peaceful. Righteous. Just. All these things. Yes.
He's omnipotent.
Omnipotent.
Nothing's too hard for him and maybe too hard for us to comfort somebody, but God, it's not hard at all.
He can peacefully comfort. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. What does it mean to be cast down?
I'm so hard pressed that because if you can't get up.
Hard pressed and can't get up then, can you?
Discouraged.
Discouraged. All right. Is it humanly possible to be without comfort? Or without need of some sort of comfort?
No.
So there's always something you need comfort about. Is that always vocal? Do you always tell people about that?
No.
No, it's just quiet. You're quiet. And when people do talk about their troubles only, sometimes it gets on our minds, but we've got troubles, so let's face this on this. We can try to help with people, but sometimes we can't. It's without our... We don't have the ability to do that, but God is always able to comfort us. Where do we find comfort with God? Where is that found? That's the Antoinette and John.
In His Word, but I think Cass was at her hand.
Okay, so that's Cass
and John. Prayer and the Word.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So the Scriptures are very clear. God can comfort. It says very clearly. God who comforted us. Oh, Lorraine's over here. Okay.
He's in sort of trouble with his microphone in his house.
Yes. Oh, right in.
Oh, yes. You could also find comfort in God's Word Bible.
The Scriptures. That's right. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Paul. It's wave the ball out there. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Paul.
Yes. So that's six. Comfort of those that are cast down. What does cast down imply? Cast down.
They could have had a really bad experience. They could have become disabled or maybe even you know, fallen ill.
Yes.
So many things today.
Lots of things can cast us down. Not really, we lift it up. Yeah, Hannah.
There would be like an emotional cast down as well.
All right.
Like they plan to finish writing their paper by the end of May, but now they didn't do that, so they have to spend more months finishing their paper.
That's right. Do you know something about finishing paper? We're going to mess it.
Yeah, that's good.
Shout hallelujah when you're done.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Amen.
A
mom will too.
Yes. Cover those that are cast down. Cover by the coming of Titus. Now, some people can comfort, but it's also true that other people can bring discomfort. What are the discomforters? How do they train for that discomfort? Do they have to train?
Wait, who?
Do they have to train to be discomforting?
No.
Okay. Human nature. Depraved.
But when they discomfort people, do you think they're sort of happy doing it?
Some are.
I hope you and I are not happy in discomforting people, but some people seem to be very, very happy. Make us happy. This happy. Happy. They're happy. Us making us this happy.
Go ahead. Okay, we're not happy. They're making you miserable.
Unhappy. Or it's not happy. It's nothing. Right. So that's in chapter 6.
No.
It's not happy. Now, coming of Titus. Why would the coming of Titus bring anybody happy? The coming of someone else bring you happy. Adam.
Well, Titus was a beloved brother, and they were glad to see him again.
That's right. And we're glad to see you people here, by the way. You got extra people. People used to not come to be here, but you're here today. Thank you for coming. We're glad for those people on that chart back there. What do you call that, Dan?
Go to meeting.
We're glad for them to be there, too. Sorry about that D. That D that Diane had down.
Maybe five.
Now, Diane, is that D for Diane?
Yes, for Diane.
Well, she can't come out.
She can't.
Well, good. Hi, Annie. That's our Diane, our daughter. The only daughter we have. Good. I hear you. Thank you for talking. Anything you want to say, Annie? Anything else?
Keep going.
Okay. All right, so we're stuck. God comforts all those. There's no question about that. And comforts those that are cast down. Do we ever define what cast down means?
We talked about it.
Right. Is it specific to things that cast down people?
Trouble.
All kinds of trouble that would cast us down. But God is able to lift us up. Amen. Coming those, the coming of Titus, and then, did we read 7 yet?
Yeah.
We read 7. We didn't talk about it yet.
Didn't talk about it. And not by his coming only, by the consolation. So, can you come without any consolation being with you? Yes. Yes, we just come here. You people are here in our church this evening, this afternoon, and can bring consolation by what you say, what you don't say. Different things you're saying.
Yes, sometimes people can come and not say anything and be a comfort.
Yes, that's right. I'm very good. And people can be disappearing, even then you can't even see them, like Diana, that glass over there, dog here. But she's here.
Or is she kind of
good? She's here.
She's with us.
Was in spirit, and she can hear, what we say.
Yes, via internet.
What is that? Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what Pastor Dan is going to be using for the Team Working Society this year, because we can't meet in a church all together, but from the meeting with this school meeting, that's what we use.
Well, it's important to send you a link to some people today, so it would be nice if they would help us learn to get through the problems, so that we have to have the PBS thing, we have the whole
life. Big Steer, hi, honey. Is that he right there?
That's right.
Okay. There she is. Well, the red dress.
That's right.
The red
dress.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Why did she come on? Did you want to
just study?
She's
studying him on the bottom here.
You can either have the camera on or off.
Oh, good.
Glad, on or off.
Mm-hmm. Glad to have her back. Thank you. So that's in verse 7. Coming only But the consolation worthy was comforted in you. What does consolation mean?
Comforting action.
All right. Comforted in you. So, can some people be comforted in others, and other people cannot be comforted in others. In this case, he was comforted in you. That'd be Titus, right? When he told us your earnest desire. What does earnest desire mean in a good sense, not a bad sense? What does that mean? What does that mean? Earnest desire. Nobody seems to want to ask that. So,
earnest is the intensity, a very intense desire that they have. Very, very, very intense.
All right. And when he, as Titus, told us of your intense desire and your mourning, what do you think they were mourning about? Should we tell others if we have a mournful spirit? Does that help us sometimes with the right people? Yeah. Some people are the wrong people, but it doesn't help us too much either. Mm-hmm. But, yes, Tim.
If I just could go back to verse 2 where it seems like maybe they had accused him of wrongdoing and somehow doing them wrong or corrupting them or defrauding them or something.
Yes.
And maybe they're mourning about it now because mm-hmm. they realize they were wrong about it.
Mm-hmm. There's a difference between mourning and mourning along the spelling.
Yes.
But notice mourning, your fervent mind. What does fervent mind mean? Is it good or bad?
Good.
It's good. Mm-hmm. It's a spiritually good type thing. Mm-hmm. The mourning mind. This is an important thing to have. It's in verse 7, is it? Or verse 8?
Mm-hmm.
7.
7, yeah. Earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind. What is a fervent mind? As opposed to an infirmate or sort of lackluster mind.
It's a very active mind that's focused on, in this case, it would be focused on the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So Titus apparently was a good man to help. Good example, helping them in what they need comfort in, and what they need comfort in. And says he told us, your earnest desire. Well, these people at Corinth had an earnest desire, and Titus was helping them, but they needed to be helped on toward me. So I see, apparently, Paul had a need for some comfort, and certainly Titus helped. And see, rejoice in that. Now, do people always rejoice in that which is good for them? Or are they just quiet?
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
They're just quiet. Should they rejoice when they have things the Lord brings to them? It's helpful.
Yeah.
Always be helpful. Always help. Now, did we read 8?
Yeah.
Let's read 8, 9, and 10 together. For though I make it story with a letter, I do not repent. But I did repent,
for I received the restraint of the epistle that made me sorry.
Now I rejoice, not to see what you made sorry, but that you sorrow to repentance, for you were made sorry, and I did not know that you might be ashamed of my own sins. For God is sorrow, worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world that we have there. So all those three?
Yes, and I have.
Okay, verse 9. Though I made you sorry with a letter. Sometimes the letters make some people sorry. Sometimes it's
likely referring to the thought I already wrote to them. I mean, 1 Corinthians or one of the epistles you wrote to them.
What kind of letter did Paul write? So what do we call that letter?
Epistle.
An epistle. Why did he write them? Yes.
He wrote to correct them.
Correct them. Is it pleasant when people write us to correct us?
No.
Do we always like it?
No.
Should we like to be corrected? Yes, we need to be.
Well, yeah.
Yes,
true. And I suppose it depends on how the correction is done.
Paul,
and somebody says, you're an idiot. You mistyped this word. You put T-H-E
I-R instead of T-H-E-R-E, and you're an idiot because you mistyped it. That doesn't seem to be very helpful.
Yes. Well, when people make a mistake and someone writes them to correct them in a proper manner, what normally is their reaction and what should might be their reaction?
To use as an example, there I had a student teacher that gave me a tip of how to see if it was theirs correct, and so I got it correct now.
Mm-hmm.
So I would occasionally get it mixed up. This is some student teacher a few years back.
Did you say theirs?
There, you know, there's three theirs.
Well, T-H-E-R-E, T-H-E-Y,
then T-H-Y, apostrophe, possessive, pronoun, and whatever. But she did it the right way.
Right.
Paul
the Apostle, I'm sure, was told by the Lord that these people at Corinth needed some correction. And so I wrote them, guided by the Spirit of God. And he said, I'm very sorry if it offended you, but if they needed it, they needed it, I guess. They should be happy that they got their correction. Now, there are a lot of sins over there in Corinth. What are some of them?
Adultery
was there. Okay.
It was the kind of fornication that is not spoken of by the world, right, that a man should have his father's wife.
That's right.
So it must have been illegal even at the time.
So he was intent on being the one that would help them to correct whatever sins that they had. It's not always easy, but once you try to correct somebody, sometimes are they angry at you? Sometimes they can be. And sometimes when I try to correct somebody, it's none of our business and we should shut up. But we're not always perfect. We're not never perfect. We're imperfect. But when we try to help, sometimes it's helpless.
One of the other things we just looked at a couple of days ago in class of First Corinthians was that they were taking brother to court.
Yes.
So maybe it was even that very situation.
That's
that they were taking to court.
Right. Do people like to be corrected?
No.
No.
Should they like to be corrected if it's proper correction?
Mm-hmm.
They're not too loud on that.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, have mercy.
If they realize that it's to their benefit, then that then sometimes I'll be allowed to be corrected more than once. If they realize the first time.
That's your Tammy and then Pastor Dan.
I'm sorry, I see two Dianes.
Yeah,
I see Diane D.
Oh, yes.
I see a picture of Diane. So I'm confused.
Well, that's your last step to connection.
You got to connect. Okay, thank you very much, honey. She's there. That's good.
I don't know what I was going to say now, but it doesn't matter.
What was my question? I forget the question.
About correction. I have an example. I don't have to. Maybe someone could correct me on some of the details, but there was a situation when there's a ship that's traveling in the ocean, it's dark out, and he sees this light out someplace, and he sees it, and he says, please, and he gets a radio signal, and he says, please, 3 degrees to the south. And the guy, the boy says, oh, well, I'm this big ranking military brass guy, you move 3 degrees to the south, I'm the commander of this big huge military ship. And the response back, well, I'm just a little low lieutenant, whatever, we'll even lower than that, sergeant or so-and-so, I'm in charge of the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so the lighthouse can't move.
Right.
You know, so even though he was very humble position of being the lighthouse operator, he still was needed to have, he was trying to direct that ship away from the where the lighthouse was.
Right. But having a crash and a serious problem.
You changed your course.
No, it was kind of back and forth for a while.
It was probably back and forth quicker than that, longer than that. Anna knew there's the details better than
I'm
sure.
Not really. But the idea was like the ship and the lighthouse were going back and forth saying, you change your course. You change your course. And then the ship was like, I'm this big naval vessel. You should be the one to change your course. And then, well, I'm not that important, but this is the lighthouse.
Where did you hear all this?
I don't know. I know it too.
Oh, is that right?
Maybe it was a story.
Maybe you preached
on it.
Maybe.
Maybe it was a
No, I just want to say a quick story here, and I won't take long. My husband was about to do what you're supposed to tell people.
Yeah.
And they were in this big tank heat shooting the Germans, and there was a lieutenant. It was just a lieutenant, and all the rest of us were, what do they call the other kind of men? Not the officer, Elizabeth. And they saw a German tanker coming their way, and the guys and you know the gunners were saying, "We got to get out." And the lieutenant kept saying, "Oh wait, get a little closer, get a little closer." And finally, the young guy said, "Get out!" Mm-hmm. And then they started to really tell them. And if they hadn't gotten out, they would have blown to pieces. Yeah. There was a lot of the men did get. Hurt. My husband got a shot in the face. But sometimes you have to just go, in certain cases, just do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's a story about Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know where the lighthouse was located.
I just
got my question answered. I was curious where this particular lighthouse was located, but Tammy and Anna said that it was from a story or something.
I mean, I think it's true, but I don't know the details.
Yeah,
it applied to any lighthouse, really.
It would apply to any lighthouse, and there's a lot in New Jersey.
There sure are.
Any other comments or questions before we close?
I just wanted to say thank you for all your prayers for my sister.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Back home, she's recovering slowly, and the other day she did walk.
Oh, great.
A few steps with a little walker and her daughter and her husband, so we were happy to hear that. And she's
great. Thank you.
Getting a lot better every day.
Not everybody else. And other closing comments do I have? Yes, Kath.
In all this pandemic and the kids being home and everything, one of my children's child, started to read the Bible. After about 2 or 3 weeks, she didn't know he was reading it, but he told her he was reading it. And one day he came to her just recently and said, "Mom, would you please give me a bigger Bible? I'm going to read my Bible." And he started in Matthew and he read 5 chapters so far that night that she told him. So.
That's good.
You never know what the Lord is going to do.
Right.
Makes me really happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any other comments before we close?
What'd you say?
What's his name? What's your nickname?
I don't like to call everybody in her business.
Sure.
Yeah. But it was one of Julie's children.
Good. Any other comments before we close?
Well, we're starting to open up again in the States little by little. I've been working now for the last 5 days.
Toyota.
God says that we have to work, so
yes.
Working is better than staying home.
Yes,
that's for sure.
You got any other comments before we close? Okay.